Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Edit audio.
American traditional. Love it.
Oh, I love it too. It like carries everyone from zero to hero. It just always looks good. I'm so mad about it. But then I don't like white boy American trad tattooers, so,
Yeah. I mean, if we were to talk stereotypes about it, bold will hold bitches and folks that believe that tattooing is going in the wrong direction. And
oh my God, you use pen style machines? Ugh. Ugh. Loyal to the coil, bro.
Oh my God, yeah. You don't hand draw all your images? Procreate? Wow, not a real tattooer. Assholes. But I'm gonna get it though. What's up, y'all? Welcome to season two of The Teardown, a podcast hosted by me, Vegas Inc., hopefully still your favorite polarizing tattooer. Every episode, I sit down and chat with amazing guest artists, and we dive in more intimately on the politics of the tattoo industry, as well as some topics I feel are more relevant in contemporary tattooing. So, now that we're all set up, let's get started. Are you ready? Chris is a first-generation Barbadian immigrant who first moved to Canada to pursue a degree in illustration at OCAD University, and then decided tattooing was worth continuing to suffer the cold for. Her artistic influences stem from her horror, manga, gothic aesthetics, metal music, pop culture, vintage erotica, and surrealism. She enjoys gin, long walks on the beach, and working in a community-minded space with leftist ideals. That is on our website. Clients are reading this. I don't know if I proofread your bio before posting it.
I know a client bought me gin and I was like, how do you know I like gin? And they're like, it's on the website.
Oh, I'm getting hot. Why are you like this?
I don't know.
Okay, so working at a leftist minded space, being my tattoo shop, True Tattoos. How do you like working there?
I love it. It's so fun.
Where we don't proofread bios ahead of time.
Where we don't proofread bios. And I've just been running wild on the internet for a year.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm going to have to look at everybody else's and see what's up now. Okay, there's a few icebreaker questions here for you. Although I'm sure I know some of these answers, but what are things you like to do outside of tattooing?
I like to binge watch shows. I've been watching like a lot of true crime, Breaking Bad. It's been the latest thing I've been getting into. I like to, go to dive bars. And I would like to get like a hobby that's like still creative, but not necessarily drawing or painting anymore. I would like to get into pottery or something like that this year. Mm. Something tactile. Yeah.
That would be fun. What would you make?
I feel like I'd have to start easy. So like ashtrays and cups maybe.
True.
But I would like to make like figures eventually, but I feel like that's so hard.
It's like, it feels like a very intimidating medium though, because so much can go wrong at every step of the process that like...
And they can just like break
Oven. Exactly. And like the way that it can go wrong, there's like no going back. You just have to restart.
I guess kind of like tattoos. You can't really go that wrong.
Ooh. True.
I like stressful situations.
What is your most painful tattoo and your least painful tattoo?
Most painful... I want to say the top of my foot was pretty bad, but like my armpit was kind of brutal too.
True.
Yeah, I don't know. It was different kinds of pain, but I don't know. It's all tolerable to a certain degree, so I don't really know. Least painful would be anything like on the outer arm is not too bad.
Yeah, you are like the bionic woman though, so that makes sense. How would you describe your tattooing style in one word?
Oh, in one word. That's tough. I'll just go with gothic. I'll just say gothic.
True. Yeah. On brand. So what made you want to get into tattooing, like actually, like, and how long have you been tattooing for?
So I always liked tattoos. Like from the time I was a kid and I saw people with them, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. But I wasn't so sure about it as like a career. Then, as I said, I went to OCAD and did the illustration program, and it was kind of out of touch in a way. It focused a lot on print media, which is pretty much not a thing. So like a lot of album covers, magazine covers were the assignments, billboards and things that have been long replaced by photography. So I finished the program and also had the experience of not really finding my artistic voice through the whole program. I was kind of just doing what different profs were pulling me towards. So I finished and I had this degree and I was just like, well, I guess I'm going to work at Starbucks because I don't know what I'm doing. Then I started doing zines and a lot of them had like trad inspired tattoo art in them. And at the shows I was tabling at, people would be like, oh, do you tattoo? I'd love to get tattooed by you. And I was like, oh, no, I didn't realize people would actually want this stuff. Then I had a friend who was working at a questionable shop and they were looking for apprentices and she was like, I don't know if you would be really interested, but you know, you should come in and say hi. And that was about it. So I've been tattooing like post apprenticeship for, I guess, this is the third year and my apprenticeship was like a year and a half. Yeah.
And what was your experience at OCAD like? Be honest.
Like I said, out of touch. Really racist in many ways to the point where I like, you know, like I mentioned, I do a lot of gothic style tattoos. Like I like the darker side of things visually. And I had a prof be like, why don't you do black stuff? Like, what? I don't get why you're doing this kind of thing. You should just do black art. And I'm like, how is it not black art though? A black person's making it.
Yeah. What is black stuff?
I don't like, what do you want me to do? Like a bunch of cornrow art or something? Like I just slavery. I don't know. I was like, I don't think that we have the same perspective on what would be black art anyway. I don't know what she means by that. But yeah, it was very isolating. I didn't get close to too many people there because like in my program, I think there was only like 3 black people total and one wasn't even in my year. So I didn't really like have a lot of other black people there. And it was mostly like white folks and like East Asian students.
Yeah, I don't hear good experiences from art schools. It's always like the death of art pretty much, or like the death of the artist and uninspiring.
Yeah, they beat the creativity right out of you.
Yeah. How old were you when you got your first tattoo and what was it? I'm assuming you weren't. Were you in Barbados at the time or?
No, I got my first one in Canada. I was 17 and I was going to McDonald's and there was a tattoo shop next to the McDonald's. And I was just like, let me see if I can pull a fast one on these people. I just really wanted to get it. So I went to, I don't know if it's still around. Maybe I shouldn't call the name of it. But yeah, he didn't ID me or anything, but he did say like, oh, I don't really tattoo a lot of Black people, but I think it should show up. And it was just the words "come as you are" on my rib cage. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not asking you to do it in brown ink or something. This is weird. But, I don't know. But I didn't really want to ask too many questions because, like I said, I was underage and rather intimidated, honestly. So we just get to it. And at the end of it, he was like, oh, you did really well. The ribs are super painful. And I'm like, well, I wish you told me that before we started, but I guess whatever.
That's funny. You want to get that tattoo covered up, no? Or do you care?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I don't... I'm of two minds. Like, it makes me laugh because I don't even like it. But it the make-me-laugh part makes me kind of like it. Because the font is so weird, too. I don't know what was going on. It's just not a cute tattoo, and it's kind of cringe, but...
Well, I mean, I guess you kind of talked about it a little bit, but what has your experience being tattooed been like, especially as, like, a Black woman?
Mostly like normal, like, you know, the type of tattoos I get, they tend to be on the bolder side and Black and gray. So I haven't had too much of the back and forth about, oh, you can't get this style color or fine line, or the artist is gonna pretty much shit all over them and be like, your skin is a problem. I haven't had too much of that, but I still have like faced like misogyny, like racism, where people, I don't think they want to tattoo you per se, but they're not saying anything, but in that they're not saying anything at all, you know, like you'd walk into a shop, look at the artist's work or whatever and choose someone. And then you don't even like talk to them through the whole session, really. It's just very impersonal. Yeah. Then there's the sexual harassment as well. Mm. Just those wonderful experiences.
Is it still the same now since you become a tattoo artist? Do you think it's a little bit different? Maybe it's a little bit different because you're getting it done by people that we know. But like, let's say for people that like you don't necessarily know, like, do they know you're a tattoo artist, or like that conversation doesn't even happen?
Honestly, since I started working at True, I guess I've been like going to the people who've already passed the test, like you said. So I'm usually getting tattooed by racialized folks, queer folks who have a little bit more ethics, I guess, compared to like cis white tattooers who just are on some next shit. But I haven't really been tattooed by anyone who didn't know was a tattooer like in a while. I guess the last time I did it had been at a convention and they knew I worked there, but they were still mostly sexually harassing me. So yeah, that would have been the last time. I was actually thinking about walking into a shop the other day to get like my ditch tattooed because I had like some thorns or something in there. But I don't know, like remembering that experience and seeing like who was in the shop, I'm like, I don't know if I feel like potentially dealing with some weird harassment again. So I'm kind of more conscious of where I get tattooed these days and by whom.
Yeah, I mean, for me, being like a light skin, like, and a biracial person, like I had it once, which was really bizarre, like in the past before I started tattooing and getting tattooed. And I was like, damn, like colorism and anti-Blackness is so pervasive. Like I went and got tattooed by an artist who I was working in a shop with them, and they were adding color to my tattoo. And they're like, you know, a lot of the color might not show up on your skin though. So as it heals, it might not be there anymore. And I'm like, ma'am, this is a Wendy's.
Honestly, there was an artist who posted pictures of their work on dark skin recently, and the people were like barely olive toned. I was like, that's what we call dark skin now. So I guess
it's so bizarre. Some people,
anything like less than ivory is just so hard to work with.
Which is so interesting because, like, if you tattoo enough melanated folks, Black folks, folks with dark skin, everyone takes ink and colored ink so like color on tattoos in general is just a complicated process. And sometimes it's like there's formulas that you follow to ensure that it works out well. Yeah. But sometimes it's just like figuring it out as you go. And it's the same for like white people and light skin, like really light skin people, where like there are colors where I assumed were going to be much easier to deal with and it wasn't. And then I've like tattooed colors on like darker skin folks, brown folks, like melanated skin folks, like yellows, where everybody's always like, I know I can't get yellow, but then I'll do a yellow on somebody that's like brown skin. Mm-hmm. And it's like in there. And it's just, it's color theory. It's like choosing the right undertones. It's just those components, which as artists, we should already know or be trying to figure out. I'm so tired of the conversation. It's boring.
I know. And it's so sad when people come in and they're already like walking in that you're going to have a problem doing things on them. And I'm like, I don't know who told you these things. That sucks that you feel that way.
Yeah. And even with Black and Gray, like I still get clients that come in being like, oh, I don't know if it's fully going to show. So maybe if you do it this way, and I'm like, none of it's going to be an issue, but Black and Gray is, it's just a staple. It's going to work on everybody. Like I don't, but I guess you get degraded for so long that you kind of come in like that no matter what the situation is. What is your favorite style of tattooing and what is your least favorite style of tattooing?
I like a lot of traditional tattoos, actually, like American traditional, looking at them. I really like the Japanese bodysuits, too. I think that's so cool. My least favorite, I honestly have never gone into watercolor tattoos. Like, I just can't with it. I just think it ends up healing like a bruise half the time, depending on how much like lines were in it to hold it together. Like, I have a friend who has a, what is it, like a blueberry on the bum? And it just looks like a blue blob after a few years in that style. I just do not get it. What's your favorite and least favorite?
Well, I think you know what my least favorite is. I think we all know what my least favorite is.
Oh, yeah. The ignorance style.
I fucking hate an ignorance style. Boy. Okay. I like the concept. I like a well-done ignorance style. I like an imagery that's obnoxious and like disrespectful and gaudy. I like that.
Yeah.
But when it's well done. And I also can appreciate, I think some of the, not all your tattoos, but some tattoos that you do for like, it's like goth shit. That's what you call it.
Yeah.
Could be considered ignorant style where like there's a particular kind of line work that you engage with. And I can appreciate and like that because that's what it's supposed to look like. But at the same time, I've seen you do fine line stuff. I've seen you do lettering and like have good foundations. So it's like, I know that you're doing that work purposefully and intentionally. Like there's an intentionality with that style. And as well as like other tattooers that I follow who have intentionality with their artwork. But I could always tell the ignorant style that it's ignorant because you don't actually know how to tattoo. And the imagery is not that exciting either. I also don't like hyperrealism. Controversial
me
take.
Me neither, actually. I don't like it either.
I respect and appreciate the technique that goes into it because it's so complicated and so difficult. But I'm like not excited about it. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, my favorite's American traditional. And I like ornamental tattoos. Aesthetically, I like them. But yeah, American traditional is like my favorite. And then I like the sort of illustrative color work that has come out of like America done by like black tattooers.
Yeah, that stuff's nice.
Yeah, like very heavily saturated color with heavy and bold lining that's like specifically curated for like melanated folks. I like that. It's interesting. Well, I mean, also, what are your thoughts on ignorant style tattooing? Since it's the topic.
Not letting me get away with that one. You know, you're right in that I think a lot of people use it as a crutch to not actually give a fuck about how to actually tattoo properly. And I don't really think that's the most ethical. Cause I mean, I think it's one thing to like, okay, the lines aren't super clean or whatever, but when you can look at something and tell that half of it's going to be blown out and the other half is falling out, I think that's weird. Like you should at least know how to do that. I don't really get just saying it's a style. It just shows that you don't care to learn really. And even drawing wise, sometimes I'm like, really? Because the drawing is so weak, you know, there's just no effort. But you know, if you're like a conventionally attractive white person, you can get away with it.
Oh, I mean, it's so popular amongst like queer tattooers. I feel like that's like where like its niche is. So like they could also ride the coattails of being a white queer. So like partially marginalized so that it's enough for them to be like, well, I'm poor and I can't afford to do an apprenticeship. It's like, honey, you will have a much easier time finding an apprenticeship than folks of different racial demographics and backgrounds.
It's just laziness.
It sort of feels like
hey, if you can get away with it, right? No one's making them do better. People just accept it and praise them for it.
I just wonder, though, like, what is the longevity of that? Because we know an artist who was originally an ignorant style tattooer, and now they do incredible, like, black and gray and large-scale pieces. I don't know if I'd call it, like, American traditional, but, like, lean towards more of that, but, like, yeah. Illustrative for sure. Because I think at some point you have to say, what is going to have longevity? How am I going to be able to sustain myself long-term? Are there any financial benefits to this, right? Like,
I mean, it's still popular for sure, but I feel like it's already less popular than it was, say, like 5 years ago, even. Like, ignorant style. Like, a lot of people do end up getting some of that covered, because I think it's one thing to have, like, some ignorant style tattoos. There's people who went, like, over the top with having, like, most of their body covered in that style. It doesn't age with you well. I'm not one person to be like, oh, what are those tattoos going to look like when you age? But they're very, like, immature. They don't grow with you, I don't think, very well. Like, was it... Yeah, it was Jalen who was talking about, like, they've covered so many of those tattoos. You know, like, people do get them covered eventually.
And I mean, even from my own experience, I've done cover-ups on tattoos that are well done. Like, they're good tattoos. And I'm like, I don't even know how I can cover this up, because it's technically well done. The imagery is good. It's exactly what they wanted, but they have just, like, aged out of it, right? So the argument could be made, like, well, anything could eventually, somebody will grow out of it. But I don't know. Like, I think that there's a particular kind of, like, person that will age with that style and like it. Like, you know, folks who are, like, punks, let's just say. Like, like, that is who they are at their core. And even when they're in their 40s, and even if they end up having children or don't or whatever the case is, they're going to be happy with that. But then there are folks who, and this is coming from a perspective of, like, working in the industry for over a decade, I know when somebody's coming in a little more in their fifis, a little more depressed, a little more, I don't care about my body right now because I don't care about myself right now because I'm not in a good place. And so they make a lot of decisions in terms of, like, body modification, right? People cut their hair, people might shave their whole eyebrows off, and those things are reversible, but, like, tattoos are permanent in a way, not that they can't be removed or covered, but it's kind of like, I don't know. I look at it from, like, the principle or the ethic of, like, even though they are who they are right now, and this is, like, and I have to honor that and, like, whatever, there should be some kind of conversation. Because if I'm having conversations with clients about certain artwork that they want to get done and being like, okay, like, this style is already kind of aged over the years, it's going to become more aged, like, this is how you might feel about it, and having those really intentional conversations with my clients, like, are those folks who are doing a particular kind of style having those conversations? Do they care?
I don't think so. Because they, like, not to say, you know, people say it's gatekeeping to even refuse certain placements on, like, super young people or people who don't have a lot of work. I don't ever really see that with ignorant style tattooers. Like, they will blast your face if you have nothing else if they want to, you know? Like, they do some stuff where I'm just like, that seems unethical, but I mean, who am I to judge?
Do you remember that woman that got the Drake tattoo written across her forehead?
Yeah, I do, yes.
Would we consider that ignorant style tattoo? Because it's well done. But the ethics of that was fucked. Like, that artist did not give a fuck about her.
Yeah, that was shocking.
It was ignorant.
I wonder what ever became of her. Yeah, it was just ignorant. It was a well done ignorant tattoo. I wonder if she still has it.
I don't know. I've been trying to find it. I haven't.
I think social media has made, like, tattooing kind of weird in the sense that I can tell a lot of people are getting tattoos just to go viral for having this, like, wild tattoo. And sometimes, I mean, yes, one thing to, like, post something, be proud of it, like a massive back piece that's super nice or whatever. But then there's just the attention kind of seeking stuff, like the graphic porn tattoos, like somewhere you can't really hide it. Like, say it's on your forearm. You're not going to wear sweaters every summer, you know, and just, like, yeah, the Drake on the forehead, or shorty that got the, like, 50 stars on her face or whatever. Yeah. And sometimes I don't know how to, like, feel about that interaction, you know, of, like, social media clout and tattooing anything just to, like, get some clout.
And even, like, folks who, like, have their clients, like, buck naked to like take an image of a tattoo and maybe just little dots to cover their private parts. And I'm just like, these are people. And like, do they have conversations about consent about whether or not, like, let's say it no longer aligns with them as a person to be like, hey, I no longer want this out there, but there's digital footprint. So it doesn't matter even if the artist takes it off the page.
I do wonder about that. Like, I guess some placements and pieces, it's kind of hard to show it without like getting some like breast or like pubic area in the shot. But some of them are like purposefully sexualized and you can tell when that's the case. And it's very like weird when someone's whole account is just that. Mm. And then you have to wonder like how those conversations go. Do they even like show people what kind of pictures they're planning to post ahead of time? I don't know.
And it's always like, I won't say only exclusively men, but it is always like men behind those accounts for the most part.
And I guess you can say, I guess maybe the clients don't mind being perceived that way, but I do think it sets a weird precedent. So I don't know.
Definitely. And then it influences folks, right? And other tattooers and other artists to think that that's okay, especially when we don't know what the actual process is or like who the clientele is.
Yeah.
What is one thing you never want to tattoo again?
Anything with the EKG monitor in it, like the little heartbeat things. Oh my God. Then it has like a skyline in it and daffodils and it just goes on and on and on. Yeah. I can't with that.
I just tattooed that. I just did that on side. And I hadn't done an EKG heart, I swear, in like 2 years, and I thought it was done. This client's lovely though, but yeah, I did it. And I was like, oh, damn. Okay. This is so popular. What is the one thing I would never tattoo again? Let's see if you know me.
Snakes?
Yes. I don't like it. I don't care. It's not about style-wise. It's not about I think they're played out. Like, I can't. If I have to fucking draw another snake again, it'll be too soon.
You do such nice ones, too. That's the funny thing.
I don't think so, but thank you. I always feel like when I do them, they lie a little more flat than I would like them to. And I know what the issue is. I'm very, like, when it comes to, like, patterns and stuff, I like things to be symmetrical and, like, proportioned properly. But with snakes, their scales aren't. Like, I'm looking even at my large snake tattoo that I'm getting done, and I'm like, yeah, these scales are, like, it gives it movement, even though these scales aren't perfect. But I'm like, I couldn't.
Yeah.
Oh, and anything that's a mythical creature. How am I supposed to know how to draw this thing? We don't got real pictures. Like, all we have are illustrations and a vague description of what it's supposed to look like. I don't know what a fucking phoenix is. It's like what? A chicken? It's supposed to be like a chicken with...
Yeah, peacock chicken on fire. I actually don't really like doing phoenixes either, actually.
Yeah, or like, was it dragons? Oh, I can't.
Dragons are cool.
Dragons are cool. I don't want to tattoo them, though. I don't. I always end up feeling like they all look the same.
Kinda, yeah. They do.
So Riri Stars is the intro topic, which is fitting because you're from Barbados and that's your crown jewel. Although I argue that you are the crown jewel of Barbados.
I agree.
Do you think that there was a time that Rihanna's tattoos had made a significant impact culturally on tattooing?
Yes. They, like almost every shorty had the ISIS under the sternum, you know, that one. Like everyone like felt no ways about
copying
that. I don't know if it's still as popular, but for a few years there, it was not uncommon to see people like getting it. Even at, during my apprenticeship, I remember seeing like a couple of them walk in with that as a reference. Also, like the little hand one, the what is it supposed to be? Hannah inspired hand one she has. People were getting a lot of those, but I feel like that kind of collided with the mandala fad of the 2010s anyway. Another one I didn't realize was a tribute to her was the birth year on the front of the ankle.
Yes, that was her.
That was her. And I guess like earlier in the 2000s, the stars down the back was also like her. So she was kind of riding the trends, but she has definitely a few that inspired people. Like the Roman numerals on the shoulder. Like, oh, she's one celebrity people like really enjoy her tattoos and I guess her style in general, because she had the shorties and red hair and the pixie cut and all that for a while too. Very, very impactful visually. I don't think there's ever been a celebrity copied that much for their tattoos.
Like, even if folks aren't getting the same imagery, and I'm not to say that she was the first one to do it, because let's be honest, I think that the people with like the most creative ideas for tattoos are like, have sort of set the trend for tattooing has been tattoo artists, right?
Yes.
It's body modification. So we're more explorative. We do things like, no, the average person is not getting a tattoo under their jawline the way that I might.
No,
right?
No.
So whenever a client's like, what's your most painful? I'm like, here, but you don't have to worry about it because you're never going to get it.
Like, well, I might, but I'm scared now.
You, but like the normies, like the...
Yeah, they're not going to do that. Even like an armpit tattoo, people are like, why would you ever...
I think that, so we set the trend for a while. So I'm not going to say that Rihanna was probably the first to do anything. And like anything that gets popped off, obviously was inspired by something else. But I do think that that placement, the sternum, the underboob, and the shaping and the framing of that inspired a lot more people to get creative with that sort of placement.
And I think it was surprising because she was kind of considered like a fashion girly. No one thought she would get such a big tattoo. And it made people think, oh, a big tattoo can still be like feminine or whatever.
Oh my gosh. Was it Eve that had the paw prints on the titties?
Yeah, it was Eve. Yeah.
She inspired the 90s generation for a lot of those. Oh, wait. So black women leading the charge in trends. Literally. That's for you.
As always, no credit, but leading the way. Yes.
The number on the ankle is probably still one of the most popular tattoos. It has not died out.
It is. Like, just the birth year tattoo and that old English font in general, people are really into that.
You know what, though? So now we're tattooing 2000 babies, right?
I don't like it with the 2000 birth year. It doesn't hit the same.
It don't hit the same. I'm like, you should be embarrassed.
They need to get like a new font for theirs. I don't know. The Gothic one doesn't really like look cute with 2003 in it.
No, at all. And it still trips me out that we're able to tattoo people that were born in 2000.
I know, when you double take on the consent form and it's 2004 and you're like, wait, what?
It's like, if you don't know where you were during 9/11, then I don't think you should be getting this.
You weren't even born yet. That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And it was interesting with even Rihanna's hand. She had gotten originally a, I think it was like the traditional hand poking.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she didn't like it, or it faded out, or it fell out. I'm not sure what the whole thing was that, but it was so funny because the picture was kind of like she was like smoking weed and like getting it done. But then she got it redone over. It was kind of a lot that was happening there, actually.
Yeah, she went from one, I guess, appropriate tattoo to another.
The AK, the gun on the finger. Was that her too?
Oh, yeah. Is it on the finger? She has a little AK somewhere. I don't remember where it is.
Not us really realizing how much she's had an impact on tattooing. Damn, this title is really on par.
I also think her like getting tattooed kind of coincided with like social media like exploding when everyone was like new to Instagram and stuff. So like that paired with the tattoo trend being more like visible, I think it was just a good timing for that. Because now I feel like social media is different.
And honestly, maybe even just seeing like a black woman who had an alternative style too, because I remember like I was an emo kid for you know, a little while. And like I was definitely, I've always been like an alternative person style wise. And it was kind of cool to see like a black girl out there. Like she started off very like normcore and then very quickly was alternative and sort of normalized that, normalized having all those like tattoos, being like hypersexual while kind of rejecting like hypersexuality in a sense, like very much centered on empowering herself and her body. And like, even now has accelerated that where nobody can shame her.
And she's still like, yeah, I'm out here naked. And what?
We'll be right back after this short break. What tattoos do you have that were/are trendy? I said to the editor, I was like, I don't think that Chris will have any because she's kind of cool that way. Like, kind of has had a style and stayed with it. But maybe I could. Oh, the writing on your ribs, I guess a little bit. But like,
yeah, that was very of that era, like 2011, 2012, 10, maybe. Yeah. There's gotta be something else.
No, I'm like literally thinking of your body because I've seen you partially naked, and this is at the shop, so I feel like I have a pretty good idea of what's like.
What you have. Just naked everywhere.
I can see your full legs. I can see your full back. I can see.
Yeah, I guess I don't really have like trendy ones.
Dang. Maybe like the spider web, but I don't know. I feel like that's kind of timeless. I wouldn't consider that trendy.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like some of them are like definitely things you see like other people getting, especially the trad ones. But I'm like, does that count as trendy? I don't know. Maybe.
So you have nothing.
I guess maybe the angel wrap that I have, the eyes and the wing one. I feel like those realistic angels are kind of in.
The really cool one that's like turns into flames?
Yeah.
Girl, be serious.
I don't know.
I've never seen that tattoo done the way that it is.
What can I say? Real to this game.
Okay, I have a few in a very shameful way, pretty on brand for the biracials, for the light skins. I have a kiss on my chest in red ink. Where is it?
Oh my God. I still can't believe you have this.
And I have, oh, yeah, this is it. I have cheetah print coming from my hip up my sternum into like the middle of my chest. That is pretty fucking like, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, I like it though somehow.
It's going to get covered soon. But yeah, that's definitely trendy. Oh, I mean, it's covered now. But remember I told you about, I had my second tattoo. So I had a rose on the neck that's, does not get any more basic. That's covered now though, which is funny because it's covered with a pomegranate and you would think like, but it's much cooler, you know, being like, yeah. So my second tattoo was love on my wrist with stars coming up my hand on each side of my hand. It was like supposed to be delicate and like vulnerable. And then I was supposed to get strength on the other wrist and it was going to be like bricks that were like, looked like they were kind of falling apart, but they were still standing strong because that's strength. Always remember love and always remember strength. And thank fucking God I was never had enough money to get it.
That is just so off brand for you now that I'm like, who were you? What was going on?
Right. I think those are really it. I mean, I have like a lot of people who I've dated name on me. Although I will say there are more people out there with my name tattooed than I have names tattooed on me.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of ridiculous.
I don't even remember all of them, to be honest.
I'm screaming. I don't have anyone's name tattooed on me.
Have you ever thought about it?
Yeah, just for the story. Like, I just feel like I have to.
Well, there's Jacob. You can get his name.
Yeah, but he doesn't want me to do it.
He doesn't want you to do a lot of things. And you do it anyways.
You got me there.
Damn. Okay, so I'm the only one that's like, oh, I guess I got Betty Boop on the leg. That's about
16
feet tall.
Oh, I have a Betty Boop too. So I guess that counts.
The Betty Boop, it's interesting because mine takes up my whole calf, as you know. And I hadn't ever...
It was huge.
I don't think I had ever really watched a full Betty Boop episode ever. And then about 5 or 6 years ago, I was with my friend and we found like this collection of old cartoons at Value Village and we bought it and we were smoking some weed and we started watching it. And girl, the way we were just mouth agape watching, I'm like, this isn't, I have a caricature on my leg.
Yeah.
She's iconic and who she's inspired by is iconic. But if I'm watching it and they had, the episodes were wild. They were misogynistic to her and then just racist.
Always. Every episode is just like, got the racism going on. Her like running from men trying to get at her. It's a lot. And she's only supposed to be a kid too, so it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I feel like the only folks that are like, really still like it are like old suburban white women. I get complimented by them a lot for it.
Yeah, they love it. And most of the people who I've tattooed boobs on are middle-aged white ladies.
So I kind of wanted to go through a list of types of tattoos and like the stereotypes attached to them.
Oh boy.
Okay. It's a fun little game. Don't be afraid to get controversial, Chris.
Oh no, not this.
Lion head, roses, and a clock. Stereotype.
Like a basic dude, I guess.
Cishet white man.
Yeah.
Goes to the gym.
Who thinks he's kind of hood for some reason.
Yeah, it's a little edgy. Couldn't think of anything else more creative and has seen the
image. No, but he thinks it's really creative because the lion's wearing a crown and no one's ever done that before.
Wow, that's so silly. Animals don't wear crowns. That's so original.
Because he's the king of the jungle, you get it? I'm like, yeah, crazy.
Looking for his lioness, his queen.
Oh my God.
Black silhouettes of birds coming out of a feather.
Yeah, basic, but also someone who probably lives in a smaller Ontario town and they're kind of 10 years behind on trends.
Yeah.
They're the ones who also want the dream catcher.
Oh, true. It definitely would be under the category of Pinterest tattoos.
Yes.
It always represents for them freedom and escape and resilience. And I love that for them, but
there's gotta be a better way.
There's gotta be a better way. Semicolons on here, so I won't say much, but people with mental health issues.
Yeah, I just let them have at it. I don't have strong feelings, I get it.
There have been some interesting iterations of it though.
With the butterfly wings?
Yeah, or like adding it to like a watercolor. Like, I think I like it because it could just be simple. It could just be like elegant. It could be, I mean, obviously hopefully timeless if the tattoo represents what it needs to. But I don't love the iterations of it all the time. Like how people try to get creative, I suppose.
Well, you know, I did one recently that was a lot going on with the semicolon in it.
Yes, you did. Interesting. I think that's also a conversation of people just slamming in as much symbolism as possible into one idea.
And I'm just like, I never know that that's the best way to go about it.
And it's always very, what you're trying to represent, it speaks to it instead of doing something that, like imagery that could represent something, but it's not so obvious, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like when you look at art and then you're like, when you could automatically tell what's trying to be said and what the messaging is rather than being more ambiguous and leaving the person to figure it out. I don't know. American traditional. Love it.
Oh, I love it too. It like carries everyone from zero to hero. It just always looks good. I'm so mad about it. But then I don't like white boy American trad tattooers. So,
Yeah. I mean, if we were to talk stereotypes about it, bold will hold bitches and folks that believe that tattooing is going in the wrong direction. And
oh my God, you use pen style machines. Ugh. Ugh. Yeah. Loyal to the coil, bro.
Oh my God. Yeah. You don't hand draw all your images? Procreate? Wow. Not a real tattooer. Assholes. But I'm going to get it though.
I just don't get it too. We're black. It's different. I
know. Right?
It looks so good on brown skin. I love it.
I've loved it too. I think that like I hadn't seen a lot of black folks get American traditional tattoos because obviously they've been gatekept from the industry. But now, at least for me anyways, because I do so much of it because I'm like black, like mixed black, clients have been like, can I get this? I've gotten so many black people that have started to get American traditional and they like it. So score one for us.
Yes, keep getting it, people. Keep getting it.
Infinity symbols.
You know, I actually haven't done one. Oh, no, that's a lie. I did one last year. I was going to say I haven't done one in a while. But it was like an infinity symbol with a feather with kids' names in it. I didn't really get where the feather came in, if I'm honest. But
It's been a while. It's imagery that's been a while. I've done that feather with the infinity symbol. I recently did infinity symbol going into name. I always... It's always infinity symbols now with names.
Yeah. Also kind of a Pinterest tattoo.
Mm-hmm. Medusa head.
I've heard that that's supposed to represent like sexual assault survivors.
I didn't know that.
I found that out later than one should, I guess. I mean, I have one, but I didn't know it meant that.
I didn't either. I don't know. Maybe I wonder if like things are assigned meaning over time just because it's somebody didn't want. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think that its start was that, but I wonder if.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Over time, people start to make correlations and share their stories, and then that's just end up happening. The next one was going to be butterfly. And now, like, the trope attached to that is like the bisexual butterfly, that bisexuals love butterfly tattoos.
I didn't know that was like, okay. I mean, sure. I wasn't so into butterfly tattoos till recently. Mm-hmm. Like, seeing the little fine line guys, I'm kind of like, okay. Kind of like breathed some life into it for me, because before I wasn't really like super into them.
I don't say that I was into them or not into them, but I will say that I always like doing a colored butterfly on melanated skin. I always love
Yeah, well, I mean, you kill those. They look so nice.
I just love the way that it looks. But like, they're fine. I don't really have any like aversion to them. They're hard to
do.
They're
so popular.
Yeah, if it's not fine line, and even if it is, because you want it to be symmetrical, you want it to be consistent. But then when you need to, like for monarch butterflies, but I also try to encourage people to get something other than a monarch butterfly. Like the Alyssius butterfly is so cool looking.
The monarchs are hard.
Yeah, you got to get all those little tiny dots, but then still fill it in black. It's just so much. Yeah. Roses. My stereotype for roses is people get roses because they don't know any other flower. Prove me wrong.
I agree with that. They just wanted a flower and that's the go-to. I don't mind a rose tattoo. It's a classic, you know? I'm like, okay, whatever.
It's roses and lilies. They're the most popular, I feel like.
Sunflowers are kind of like...
Black people.
Black people like sunflowers.
Black people love lilies, sunflowers, and roses.
Yeah, they just love flowers. Botanicals.
But there are different kinds of roses too, where I'm like always trying to encourage. I like the roses with the more rounded edges. So I think those are garden roses.
Mm-hmm.
I like those a lot better than like the classic rose.
Sometimes like if you don't draw the rose right, it looks like a little cabbage. Same for like chrysanthemums. Like you gotta be, I don't know, sometimes they just look cabbage.
Fine line tattoos.
Very Type A personality people seem to like those.
Very particular, have a certain aesthetic. Just want it really cute and tiny and like little obscure places. I don't want to be too visible, but I don't want it to be too hidden either.
I want it to be impossibly small.
Mm-hmm, as small as you can make it and then make it smaller than that. And then lower back tattoos. This is for the whores. Mm, yeah.
Yeah, I love those. Haughty stuff.
Bad bitches. Only. Yeah,
I'm so glad they're back.
Girl, remember I messaged you and I'm kind of low-key thinking about getting a lower back tattoo.
You must. I kind of thinking about getting something on the sides of mine.
Side thigh?
No, like around the little weapon I have on my lower back. I'm like, maybe I should get something around it.
You mean other than the tattoo you have right now that Sam's working on?
Yeah.
Okay. You're unhinged. You're off the rails.
My back is never going to be finished.
So the last thing I kind of wanted to talk about was this tattoo gate. Have you heard of it?
I've seen bits and pieces, but I don't know if I have the full story.
So tattoo gate was this woman came online to sort of discuss what her experience was during a consultation process for getting a tattoo. This tattoo artist has a tier system for designing. So there's three tiers, $1,600, $3,000, and $6,000. The $1,600, you get one drawing and no reiterations. Like you can't adjust the drawing. The second one, you can adjust it like once. The third one, you can adjust as many times as you want. Like it's a complete collaborative process. First of all, the consultation was $180 and then the deposit's like $1,000.
What?
So you could walk away paying about, we don't even know how much your tattoos cost. And to be fair, the artist's work was mid at worst.
Really?
Mid at, she does line work and watercolor. So she uses a total of probably 3 needles. Okay. And the tattoo probably takes her an hour and a half, 2 hours tops. It's kind of crazy.
That's crazy.
She sent, so during the consultation, she gives the artist 2 reference images of a fox and she wants some flowers. The fox is like a full body fox coming down. And during the consultation, she doesn't mention it, but she assumes because she used those reference images that the artist is going to know that that's what she wants. One of the controversies is what I found myself in was saying, was using this as an example to tell clients what happened to her was deplorable and should never happen. Point, full stop, period. But also because I saw how the comments are going, I was like, you should always walk away from a consultation feeling like you were heard, feeling like you guys are on the same page, and your artist should be guiding the conversation. But in the case where you feel like what you want is has not been said out loud, you should be saying it. But I also don't blame her, but I'm just saying, like, this was just something that...
Well, was she happy with the tattoo?
No. So the tattoo didn't happen. The tattoo didn't happen because when the woman sent her the drawing, it was not of a full body. It was just literally like a sketch of half the fox body.
What?
And she wasn't happy. And that's why she went online. So now fast forward, this woman, the tattoo artist is off the gram. Nobody, well, people found her. We've seen her tattoos. They're not bad. They're not great. They're not what they're worth. Then we come to find out that she's been taking a course through, I think, Tattoo Smart from Russ Abbott, who introduced this tiered system.
What?
When I first heard about this, I was having a conversation with Jasmine and we were kind of like, I don't understand it. It still seems unethical. However, if that's what you were going to do, at least give somebody a full top to bottom completed sketch. Like, this is exactly how it's going to look on your skin. I mean, black line work colored in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you were going to use that tier system, come to find out that's what this man's tier system is supposed to look like, but still is crazy. The whole thing about his course was saying make an extra $17,000 a year tattooing by using this tier system, and artists at his shop use it. Also, she had reviews on her Google where people said that this happened to them, where they felt scammed out of things. She has a rigid no refund policy. She has a rigid no changing the design unless you pay extra for it. People are paying thousands of dollars. And Cambridge, Ontario.
Wait, that's where it's happening?
Girl. True Tattoo goes to Cambridge.
Wow. I don't understand why people would even agree to that in the first place, though. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Totally agree. So the baseline for the takeaway for me is people are trying to make the most money that they possibly can from this industry. I get why people are finding new ways to generate more income with tattooing. But I don't know if it's a matter of a pricing increase or finding new ways to introduce more income or generate more income rather than implementing stronger boundaries. Like, what do you think?
I feel like obviously you can make good money tattooing without going to that extreme.
Literally.
Like, she could have that system, but it doesn't have to start at $1,600. Like, that's just excessive and not sustainable because she's already getting called out for scamming. Like, you know what? Even if she was like doing like hyper real black and gray and everything is huge, that's the only way I could kind of see that. And even that to me would be pushing it. Mm-hmm. But just for like line drawing stuff that's apparently not super crazy, I don't understand. I think you can definitely raise your prices and maybe have like a similar system, but the way that that's done just doesn't make sense to me. Especially if she misunderstood her client, then she's not going to redraw anything. That doesn't make sense.
I guess like the reason I even brought this up to like kind of tie this in is that like there's both so much access to the industry and yet so little access. And so little education around it.
Yeah.
You know? And so like, even with trends, it's like, how are we having these conversations with our clients? Like with process, like how do they understand it? And it's like, are we doing our due diligence and like going, I wouldn't even say it's the extra mile, but like going the extra mile to make sure we're informing our clients and our followers even of like the process and like how you're going to feel and like with styles, like how you're going to feel about something years down the line, you know? Are we offering alternatives?
Yeah, I remember like at the other shop I worked at, there was a week where all these guys were coming in for the money rose, like on the hand.
Yeah.
And like one of the artists is just like, so I'm just going to let you know, this is like the fifth one of these I've done this week. I don't know if that bothers you, but that seems to be like a very like popular trend right now. Is this something that you're going to like, you think, in like a few years, because it is right on your hand? And the kid obviously didn't care. He still got his money rose, but it was like interesting to see someone be like, hey, this is clearly on trend right now. I don't know if you are like actually excited about doing this or you're just seeing other people doing it. But I mean, some people don't really like care to have like unique tattoos, I suppose.
People have the right to put on their bodies what they want to put on their bodies. But more often than not, if you have an intentional conversation with those folks, I feel like they can then make a decision. I've been able to talk people out of getting certain things and then finding alternatives to things that they really do enjoy. There have been times when I haven't been successful in talking them out of getting something. And then years down the line, they've come to me and been like, I should have listened to you. Like, even when it comes to placement or style or like how something is stylized, they're like, and now I'm getting paid to do the cover up. I was paid to do the tattoo in the first place. And now I'm getting paid to do the cover up. So, I mean, it should technically be no skin off my back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I shouldn't care, but I do care though, because I'm not in the game to try to make a buck. I can make money regardless.
But I think in the end, that's why, like, you're not the one getting called out for scamming, right? Like,
nope.
Yeah, you can get away with certain things for a while, but if you're not being ethical, eventually people are going to find out, even if they didn't think so at the time. People don't live in a bubble. They're going to eventually find out that you're, like, doing a lot.
Okay, well, that concludes today's episode, Christopher.
Yes, really having me. Having I'm glad on. Rihanna was a part of this.
Yeah, it's fitting. It's certainly fitting. Is there anything you want to plug in? Any of your socials? Anything coming up for you?
I guess just my Instagram. You can find me at chris.ink, chrys.ink. Same on TikTok, but I don't really be using that. But maybe I'll be trying more these days. We do things. Keep an eye out.
We do be doing things.
We cool. do be doing things.
That's it for today's episode, folks. Go ahead and follow at the Teardown Pod on all socials. Also, make sure to leave a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. The podcast is hosted by me, Vegas Inc. This episode was edited and mixed by Ali Silhua and was produced in collaboration with Edit Audio. Special shout out to producers Kathleen Specker and Melissa Houghton, and I'll see you at our next session.